Now, it's the fault of Ireland, is a quote from a story in the Irish Independent this morning. Sophie Tuscon de Plantier's family have reacted to the death of Ian Bailey and the failure to extradite him to France. Her brother, Bertrand, said it's the fault of Ireland because Bailey was convicted of murder by a Paris court in 2019 but never had to face sentence. He was tried, of course, in absentia for the murder in Skull in West Cork in 1996. He'd refused to attend Paris and the court proceedings there, which he rejected as a show trial and a mockery of justice. But last night, following on from news yesterday of Ian Bailey's death, her brother said, this is a mistake. It's also the fault of Europe, the EU, which was unable to harmonise its justice system, but mainly it's the fault of Ireland, which never came to the end of this crime, despite a large number of investigations and a lack of will and courage on the part of Irish justice. Will it be on the line as well, Fregal, who's writing that story with Senna Maloney for the Irish Independent. Ralph, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
Interesting words there from the family. Obviously, they are still grieving, still feel probably know that they'll never get justice from their point of view. But the passing of Ian Bailey, does it bring to a close any element of this, or the cold case review goes on, or will there always be this level of controversy about this incredible case?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a level of controversy about it, Jerry. I think this certainly doesn't end matters, but I think it does mark the beginning of the end game. There are two investigations ongoing. There's, of course, the Garda murder investigation, but there's also a cold case review. Now, they will both continue, although I think it's important to stress that Ian Bailey was a central figure in both of those. And what actually happens with the cold case review, we're just going to have to wait and see. It certainly doesn't end it, but I think it's a very significant development in the overall vista of the case. But I mean, it's, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, really, since Sophie's body was discovered at 10 a.m. on December the 23rd, 1996, this has been an extraordinary case. I mean, it has, every time over the years that I've thought we're coming to the end of it, there's another twist and a turn and a development. I mean, you would have had, first of all, it was unusual for someone to be identified after their arrest, as it was in this particular case. A tabloid newspaper had identified and named Ian Bailey in 1997 after his arrest. It was also very unusual for a person having been arrested to go on a radio station and give an interview, as Ian Bailey did. And on the back of that, then he suddenly started being referred to as the self-confessed prime suspect or main suspect in the case, something that he always disputed. He always protested his innocence in relation to the case, but it never really left the headlines because you had repeated visits to Ireland by the French family appealing for information. Then dramatically you had a second arrest. Ian Bailey was arrested in 1998 by the Gardaí for questioning. He was again released without charge. In 2001, the Director of Public Prosecutions ruled out a charge, saying there wasn't sufficient evidence to warrant such a move. And then in December 2003, Ian Bailey took a defamation action against 8 Irish and British newspapers. And that really changed the entire landscape of the case because it brought so much of the detail of the Garda investigation into the public domain that otherwise would not have been there. And it allowed journalists and commentators to suddenly start looking at the case in various different ways. And then, of course, over the years, you had Ian Bailey. He appealed that to the High Court. He took a case for wrongful arrest to the High Court against the state. You had the French prosecution in May 2019, which followed an 8-year investigation led by a Paris magistrate, Patrick Gachon. And, of course, under French law, Napoleonic law, the French are fully entitled under their law to investigate a crime. It doesn't matter where it happened, so long as it involved a French citizen. And the French were given full access to the Garda file. For 8 years, Magistrate Gachon investigated. French detectives visited West Cork, and then a trial judge reviewed the evidence and said it warranted a charge. And of course, Ian Bailey, after that week-long hearing in May of 2019, he was convicted in absentia by the French of Sophie's murder and sentenced to 25 years in prison. But of course, he never went to France. There were 3 separate French attempts to have him extradited, but on each occasion, the Irish courts rejected the extradition, and Ian Bailey remained in West Cork. And of course, from the French family's point of view, I think they always feared this scenario, that he would die without having been extradited to France or without having faced some type of charge here in Ireland. And of course, it's important to stress that for the past almost 27 years, Ian Bailey has vehemently protested his innocence. He said he had nothing to do with the crime and that his life had been rendered a torture and that he had been bonfired by being wrongly associated with it.
Yeah, and all the while, though, through all of that, he was willingly being interviewed or giving himself up for interviews and kind of courting the limelight when it came to elements of it, which didn't help his situation either.
No, it's extraordinary, Jerry. I mean, it's very difficult to explain, I mean, the level of contradictions with Ian Bailey. I mean, he's a man who took defamation actions over his depiction in the media in 2003, and yet would rarely turn down an interview. In fact, I can never remember a time where he either didn't take a phone call from me or didn't ring me back the minute he got the message. There were times, believe it or not, where he would actually ring over the years and to ask, were you okay? Did you want quotes from him in respect of major developments in the case? He could be incredibly generous and polite with his time, and yet this is a man that had a history of horrific violence against women in connection with previous domestic violence incidents. He was a man who complained that, you know, his life had been ruined through adverse focus on him and that he had been ostracized within the community in West Cork. And yet he was an incredibly flamboyant and egotistical character who would almost dress and behave in a manner wanting people's attention to be focused on him.
Yeah, I saw him. He was in Kenmare on the 15th of August this year. I saw him stopping, posing for pictures and selfies with people, quite happy to do so, when you would have thought the opposite would be someone would withdraw from public attention.
Yeah, there were times where, far be it for me to say it, but I think it's a fair comment that he almost reveled at times in the notoriety. I mean, I've no doubt that it destroyed his life in many aspects, but there were times when, like, for instance, I know a person who bought one of his poetry books. He wrote two poetry books, The West Cork Way and A John Wayne State of Mind. And if you wanted a photograph with him at some of the farmers markets, you'd have to buy one of his poetry books, and he posed for a photograph. And this person bought the book, and when they opened the book, he'd not only signed it, but he'd actually put his mobile phone number in it, which again strikes you as an extraordinary thing. But that's the type of contradictions that were in the man. He was a very unusual man, both in terms of behavior, very eccentric, very flamboyant. There was no end of contradictions in him.
Yeah, there certainly wasn't. Ralph, we're out of time. We could talk a lot longer about it, but thanks very much for giving us your take on where things stand now. That's Ralph Regal there of the Irish Independent. Talked as well as Senan Maloney, his colleague, has an interesting piece in the Indo today. I was the first to interview Ian Bailey in 1997. I never had any doubt that he killed Sophie Toscan Duplantier, and he goes through why he believes that in that piece. Well, we're checking out as well.